wasted, you're complex, and of course, you can't possibly have any other responsibilities. The number of times I get, oh my God, you work? Solely because I'm a wheelchair user. Society has incredibly poor, toxic paradigms around disability and illness, and unfortunately, we breathe them in with the very air we work with. And they've been built into the very stones of the NHS. The NHS was initially designed to deal with transmittable diseases, and we had medical cures, antibiotics at the time to deal with that. But our population has changed, our services need to change. 80% of NHS services now deal with stuff that can't be cured. But we still stick with that nice medical model. There's something wrong with you and we can fix it. Despite actually not being able to fix most of it. And then we start happily slip into the charity model of you should be so grateful that we're providing this little to you. Don't ever be an ungrateful patient. Even if it doesn't quite suit you. It doesn't actually fix you, it doesn't actually help you. But you can't profess an ignorance of the social model, which should make you question how much of that impairment that I see in front of me is actually the disabling factor of the society and its responses and my service to it, and how much is the core of the impairment. And I say it's too much to ask for a service that is accessible, that is respectful, that is dignified. Then the NHS partakes in one of its most heinous crimes. It gaslights the entire community of people with disabilities. It says you ask too much. It cannot be that painful, that tiring. It can't be that upsetting. But we can be different. I know we have a few people from senior leadership here. I love the fact we have an ad hoc HR meetings. But I need to have more of them here because one of the things I'm really impressed by doing changes I've done at UEA is I can twiddle around the edges. And they were useful edges, but they were twiddling until I got buy-in from the Vice Chancellor, our CEO. Until I got him to say, it's in the corporate plan. It's actually what we're going to do. Can you take this on? Now, I'm a mere senior leader, about registrar with a few years' experience in your criteria. A COG, reasonably expert COG, but a small one in the university, university or in your place. So he said, you do it. You've got the expertise. Let me give you a clear message. Our campus is going to be accessible to all. No weasy words. No one can afford it. No, we're going to just give us a very clear message. Pragmatically, we know it will take time. But darn, we're going to make out that clear message and be held to it every single time. We need a sensible budget. We have £300,000 a year to spend on our campus. Now that sounds a lot, until you realise we've got over 100 buildings, 220 hectares, and that a single power door costs us £15,000 to build behind and install. But it is a budget that actually makes a difference. And because I was empowered by my Vice Chancellor, because he publicly said, I want Catherine to tell me directly if that new science building we're putting up is going to be the most accessible science lab in the country, come to me direct and tell me when there's a problem. It means I never do, because I just have to tell everybody the Vice Chancellor said that. It's amazing how much gaps get things done. So do leadership differently with compassion. Brené Brown has done huge amounts of research on this. Her latest book, Dare to Lead, Great Work, Tough Conversations, Whole Hearts. I can recommend to you wholeheartedly. She's a qualitative researcher. She's interviewed over 1,000 people, which for those of you that know qualitative substitute at 5:10. That's that whole little ball game. She really doesn't know what she's talking about. So, please remember, your patients often are disabled. 20% of the population has a disability. Comorbidities are really common. We often come with multiple badges. We've got an aging population, because better care has meant that more people with disabilities live longer. People with Down syndrome didn't used to live long enough to get the dementia that now are getting in their 40s and 50s. So there's an increased demand, and bear in mind, the carers of those that you're looking after not uncommonly have disabilities themselves. Intersectionality means you have to have greater sensitivity because of the complexity and expertise that these patients will have, but that you will need to be taking into account. Staff can be disabled too. It's one of those paradigms within the NHS that you have to unpack a little and go, yes, really, you're human, you get ill. Because there is this myth that NHS staff can't be ill. In fact, you're weak if you do get ill, particularly weak if you get mentally ill. But of course, the very work that you are doing means you are occupationally higher risk of getting ill because of what you're doing. Mentally, physically, and if we carry on with this toxic paradigm that people are always healthy, never disabled, and that disability is always a burden, an incompetence, and that accommodations are special needs and bonuses, well, then we're not going to shift this. You've got to demonstrate to staff that they are valued. Reports of bullying, etc., always increase when you look at protective characteristics. Again, great books to read. Robert Sutton, An American, so the spelling is A-S-S-H-O-L-E. The No Asshole Rule. Building a Civilized Workplace and Surviving One That Isn't. And his second book, The Asshole Survival Guide, How to Deal with People That Treat You Like Dirt. I can highly, highly recommend both of them. They're very troublemaking and evidence-based books. Again, this is that you are being bullied, that bullying then is perpetuated, that you bully your patients. Let's stop this culture. Let's take it a light to it. Let's shine a light on it. Let's make it different. So, with the Access All Areas, we created some terms of reference. We said, we're looking at the whole campus accessible. We're going to put in access into our buildings, but we're going to train our people, because processes and policies and attitudes and skills are just as important as having a van. We're advising you to the research park, and we do share our expertise around. We have a design guide. My last bound copy, so you can't have one, but I do have electronic versions. And this design guide is about making our campus accessible. Pretty much any sort of building you can think of, we've got on our campus. We've got shops, we've got bars, we've got a club, we've got a theatre, we've got lecture theatres, we've got offices, we've got labs, we've got, you name it, we've got it. So we designed a guide that will suit all of that. It's for our architects, our building contractors, our estates. It starts with the basics. It says, we expect you to know the legislative minimum. Schedule M. Oh yes, great. We've got a flat front door, powered, and an accessible toilet. Whoopee! Met Schedule M. Can't get around the building. So we embedded into it the principles of universal design, because I said, I'm speaking, I don't have to get things to change, and I know things will change over time. I have to have the principles first. I need it to be equitable for use, flexible, simple, and intuitive. But the information is perceptible, the quality of energy, no difference that time and place for approach and use. And the thing that we're not there, and it will change. This isn't a one and it's solved. This is a disability and ability to gain later. Because expectations and disabilities and wheelchairs and kit and salute technology solutions will shift. We have specific recommendations over general access, mobility, vision, hearing, and building general access, but we accept that when you get somebody in with a unique set of needs, you'll need to up your game again. And like I say, over time, we will need to up our game once more. These are not going to be the be-all and end-all solutions. And some of the solutions are very simple. Now, I know you guys have problems with red cords in a lot of your settings, but where you are able to have them, may I recommend you installing red cord cards? Or may I recommend you have them in your handbags anyway? They're green. You pick up MuSky, EUANS, which is a TripAdvisor for people with disabilities. And all it says is, this red cord card must hang really all the way to the floor. If it does not, it may prevent a disabled person from asking for help. It's a small point. And by putting these cards on all of our cords across our campus, we've stopped them being tied up. Also, one point, one appeal to this is why, please behave decently, we've solved it. I keep putting these everywhere I go. All the stuff in there. That's me. The rail station from the area got in there. Yeah, that's me. I graffiti regularly with these things. They stay on there because they look kind of official and they are reasonably robust. But completely agree that if you want hundreds, it's pretty heavy itself. But they're great. The other place I'll recommend to you is Stickman Communications, which is a fabulous website run by a friend of mine, Hannah Ensor, who has multiple disabilities herself, but is a most amazing communicator and really knows how to get across points in a very succinct and clear way, and does amazing collaborative creation of those cards and are incredibly helpful in a very wide range of disabilities, including mental health, autism, learning disabilities, etc. Really, really brilliant stuff. Go to visit her webpage. It is critical this becomes visible. You have to tell people and tell them again, and then keep telling them, and then tell them once more that this is what we do, and this is why we do it, and this is what we've done about it. So we do open days, access days, we do disability pride. Coming up again this September, we expected 500 people through the forward door last September for disability pride. 5,000 people later, we're going, oh, we might need this. 29th of September, I want to see you there. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be at the forum. We're going to expand out onto the streets, and it'll be great fun. But if you're saying we want people with disabilities to know they're respected in our health services, come and have a stand. Come and chat to people. Say this is our values. Say this is important. Like I say, you have to shift people and attitudes just as much. Training. Disability confidence, unconscious bias, basics of British Sign Language, Makaton, dementia friendly. Challenge, challenge, challenge the medical model of disability. It's incredibly helpful. I've got guides for how you create accessible events and how you create accessible meetings. I'd be very happy to work with you guys about how to create accessible clinics, have accessible wards, any other services you would like to do. And because I do so much intersectionality within my own work, I've done research on how we do consultations well, because I've done a guideline, a checklist of quality on how you do decent patient engagement on research. And guess what? It's principle-based, so it's entirely applicable to this sort of stuff. So you can have a list and chart that when you're going out and talking to people, consulting with people about how you change your services so it does work, you've checked that you've got shared purpose, you've checked that there's respect and accessibility, you've checked the representativeness of your stakeholders, you've checked everybody understands their roles and responsibilities, you've checked their capacity and capability to engage. That includes paying them. You check transparency in communication, and you check for continuity and sustainability. It is so important we have the checklist. I want to build it in so that access becomes invisible. Of course, you walked into this room through a door that you could open. Of course, they turn the lights on to help your vision. Of course, there's steps down to the ground floor that you can manage. The same good, you know, depth and width for you. Of course, there is a lift. Of course, there is an accessible toilet, although it's rather small. I needed care. Ooh, no. Of course, I want more places to have this just built in. Shouldn't have to ask for it. Shouldn't it be extra? Of course, it should just be there. So, finally, my last slide. My contact details. Because I'm allowed, like I say, I'm the Access Ambassador to the University. That's now one day a week of my time. I'm working with a very wide range of people, from wheelchair manufacturers to the council, to Equal Lives, to Disability Pride, you know, I'm dabbling in it. But I've had a chat with my bosses and they've said, yep, we love the NHS. Right? Good start. Okay, you can give them a day of your time for free. But after that, you're being valuable. I'm sorry, but they're gonna have to pay. So I'd like you to let your senior leadership know that I might be just a tad useful. And I might be worth the consultancy fee that the university charges. But darn, couldn't we do some change together? Couldn't we make it so that your services allowed your patients and your staff to really express their dreams because you have removed the barriers to accessing their lives? Thank you very much.
Good, brilliant. Okay, so plenty of time for questions and Catherine later, I'm sure. I love the fact that we're sharing lots and lots of information, sharing things I didn't know anything about. So I knew nothing about I'll just share that on Twitter as well. And I think we're going to share Catherine's slide. And the design guide as well, so which looks like a really, really good resource. So we'll share
an electronic
instruction as well,
I think. If you want a tool, I do have
tool holder application tools. Oh, here we are. There's another plug. Okay, brilliant. All right, so we're almost back on track, which is great, and we are heading sharply for a 5 o'clock lunch, if you can. No pressure. So I'm going to introduce to
Shall I introduce myself?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello everybody, I'm Sue, NAS consultant for Learning Disability and Autism, and I don't have five tickets, but I'm very proud to work alongside people who do. And I'm sitting down with Roxy. I hope everyone at the back can see us.
Yeah, everyone can hear us.
Oh, we're on the screen.
I do well about myself when I look at
Okay, so we're here to talk about reasonable adjustments, and as you've heard today, the law is there to kind of support people, to make sure that reasonable adjustments are made for people, making sure that services are easier to access and